You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
So good to have you here today. You know, not only do we get to learn more about one of our core beliefs and values, which is faith, but we also get to celebrate another one of our values today, family. How good is that? You know, one of our values is family. Family, you know, family is a gift from God. This is what we want to convey to everyone today. Family is a gift from God, and we value strong family relationships in every area of our lives. Why do we say that? Because family isn't just our blood family. Family isn't just our family of origin. We are united as family in the body of Christ, brothers and sisters through Jesus. And so we value strong relationships in every area. We're not prepared to sweep things under the rug just for the sake of, you know what it's like in family of origin, right? We want our strong family relationships. And of course, our other one, that was exciting. Did that happen on purpose? Faith. Let's put the faith one up. Faith. We have big faith that believes what he says and activates what he's saying. Our values, our heart. It's who we are as a people. You know, in Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2, it says this. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. It's not in our own strength. It's not in our own ability. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Aren't you so glad that we have a champion in Jesus? We're not alone in this. The champion, Jesus, initiates, perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Such a key verse for us in this faith series. Where does our faith come from? It comes from the champion, Jesus. He is authoring it. He is perfecting it. He initiates it to begin with at salvation. That's where our faith comes from. You know, if you've made some bad choices in life, anyone done that? Don't put your hand up. No. We make some challenging choices, some wrong choices, some bad choices. You know, if you've done that today, we are in good company today. Jonah has prepared the way for us today. He made some challenging, wrong, bad choices. But this is what I know to be true for each and every single one of us, because it was true for Jonah, is that God is the God of second chances. God is the God of second chances. He didn't wipe Jonah and say, "Nah, that's it, mate. You're done. You missed the boat." We didn't miss the boat, did he? But no, God is the God of second chances. And before we come around the life of Jonah today, let me give you an express story of the life of Jonah in words and pictures. Adults and kids, look to the screen. Just in case you don't know the story of Jonah, you're going to have to be quick with me on these slides. Are you ready? First of all, Jonah was a prophet and he rode a camel. No, I have no idea. This is just what the photo says. He was gifted at bringing the word of God. He was gifted at bringing the word of the Lord to God's people. And God chose him to bring a message to the people of Nineveh. Nineveh was a long way from Jonah's home. And in the city of Nineveh, there were a city of people that had lost their way and needed to come back into relationship with God. They were mean to others. They were mean to each other. They were truly living for themselves. They used to slap each other with fish. That's just what this video says anyway. And see, Jonah was fearful. Jonah was afraid because of what God had asked him to do. So he went to the closest port and found a travel agent. And this travel agent took him to like the ends of the earth. As far away, he got on a ship and goes to the farthest place away that he could find. And because of this bad decision, he's made a bad decision. God was trying to get Jonah's attention, and he did this through a storm. Got his attention. He also got the attention of the people who were on the ship with him as well. Eventually, Jonah finds himself overboard, finds himself in a big fish, eventually heads to Nineveh to deliver God's word to the king. And the king, in amazement to Jonah, responds to God. And Jonah's not happy about this. Not happy that the king's responded. And God responds to the king with compassion and mercy. Because of this, he sits under a tree and waits for the annihilation of those people, which of course doesn't come because God is great in compassion and great in mercy and great in second chances to everybody. Jonah was upset that God would show mercy and compassion to other people that weren't the people of God. And this is what I've got to say around that this morning. When your need for justice outweighs your desire for the salvation of others, you know you've got some work to do. When you're willing to hold justice over people who don't shape up to what you think they should be, we've got some work to do, amen? God's doing that work in every single one of our hearts. God's doing that work in every single one of our hearts. And this brings us back to the fact that God is a God of second chances. If there's one thing that you take away today, let it be, God is a God of second chances. For you, for I, for every single person around us, he wants us to help facilitate second chances for others as well, just like Jonah did, although be it a little bit begrudgingly. Let's read from Jonah verse 1 to 5 this morning. This is reading out of the NIV this morning. And it says this, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it." Actually, I'll read the message this morning. Let's read the message. "One day long ago, God's word came to Jonah, Amittai's son. Up on your feet and on your way to the big city of Nineveh, preach to them. They're in a bad way and I can't ignore it any longer." But Jonah got up and went in the other direction to Tarshish. Say that 8 times quickly. Tarshish. Running away from God. He went down to the port of Joppa, found a ship and headed for Tarshish. He paid the fare and went on board, joining those going to Tarshish. As far away from God as he could get. We're talking like end known world. Like if the world was flat, if you understood it to be flat, it was like the end of the known flat world at the time. But God sent a huge storm at sea, the waves towering. The ship was about to break into pieces. Remember that. The ship was about to break into pieces. The sailors were terrified and they called out in desperation to their gods. They threw everything they were carrying overboard to lighten the ship. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone into the hold of the ship to take a nap. He was sound asleep. They're throwing everything they own overboard, everything that they were meant to be taking to Tarshish to actually get paid for delivering. And they're throwing all this stuff overboard. They're throwing their valuables overboard because Jonah was running away from God. This is God trying to get Jonah's attention, but because he was out of the will of God, ruin and despair and fear are being sown into the lives of the people that he has attached himself to. So Jonah finds himself in a place where he's instructed by God to go and use his gifting. You got to understand, he's a prophet. He's gifted by God to deliver prophet-type words to God's people. But God wanted to elevate him. So you've been speaking to my people. You've been exercising your gift to my people. But now I want you to take that gift and actually take it to a group of people who don't even know me yet. He wanted Jonah to go and bring the people of Nineveh back to God. And this is what I'll say this morning. God gives us all giftings to use for his glory. Every single one of us have giftings to use for his glory. And out of fear and being comfortable bringing the messages of correction to God's people, he was comfortable bringing the message of direction to God's people. Instead, he took a boat as far away as he could have, essentially, like I said before, the end of the world. See, Jonah's life is speaking to us even right now. Jonah's life speaking to us. Each of us have giftings that God wants to use. Often, though, the task he gives us can be challenging. It can be frustrating. Maybe the task is something that really you just don't want to do it. It's like, oh, that's not something that I like to do. I like to kind of like, you know, go for a walk along the beach, and I kind of like to watch Netflix, and we all have things that we would prefer to be doing. But when God gifts you and when God calls you and sends you, we've got some choices to make. Is it obedience? Or do we run away? And we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. We can choose to run. We can choose to isolate. We can choose just to take a hard pass and not be obedient to God. Or we can learn to make choices that honor God in obedience to him. It could be simple things like putting off important things like study, and then paying the price with excess stress. And then you have to get an assignment done, got to study, got to get ready for the exam. And when you put those things off, it creates extra stress that you don't need. There's ramifications to your mind and your relationships suffer. This is my confession this morning. Now, it could be more impacting than that. Well, you know that God is calling you to take steps in growing and maturing in your emotions and your personal relationships with people around you. It could be that God has called you to minister within the church or within the community and you've run away from his call. It could be more impacting, like Jonah's impact was. It could be that you know what he's called you to do. You know that he's called you to work harder on your marriage or in relationship with your kids, relationship with colleagues at work, mending family relationships. And instead, you find yourself getting busier and busier and taking on other things and distracting yourself with other things and getting lost in other things, all so that you can bury that and escape from what God has actually called you to do. Now, this isn't a moment of conviction today. This is about stirring within us. God is a God of second chances. And there are things that he's put in. There's giftings inside of me. There's passion that used to burn with fire. And it's time to stir those things again in Jesus' name. See, what I'd like us to do today is, as we take a look at how we can make sure that our choices don't threaten to shipwreck us and the people around us. That's what I'd like us to do today. Jonah's choice threatened to shipwreck the people that he was with and send him to the bottom of the ocean as well. All because he chose his own way rather than obedience to God the Father. Maybe, let's even go as far as saying this. Let's look at the choices that you may be paying the price for right now. Maybe you've already made some choices and you are paying the price. In this current season of your life, you're paying the price for those choices and those decisions. You're feeling the fracture. You're feeling the isolation. You're feeling like you're all alone in this world. You're feeling like you're in the bottom of a boat. You're feeling like everyone around you is completely shipwrecked at this moment in time. You know, perhaps you've made some choices that are questionable. Perhaps you've made some choices that are regrettable. Maybe you just know that they were just straight up bad choices. This is Jonah's story. It's not a new, you're not the first person to do this. In fact, if you're sitting in this room right now or watching at home and you're like, oh, That's me. I'm the first person in history that's ever done this. Now, I would say that for each and every single one of us represented in this room today, if you haven't done it yet, you know that you've got a shoulder to lean on when it does happen. Sometimes we make questionable decisions in a moment of tiredness, in a moment of fear, in whatever the moment is. It's a bigger thing than God's ever called you to do. There are people in this place that can have compassion and mercy for you, just like God has compassion and mercy for us. Amen. This is Jonah's story. He knew that he was called to deliver the hope and corrective power of God for each and every single one of us. We are called to deliver the hope and corrective power of God. What's the correction? People were walking without God and then end up walking with God because we deliver hope, Jesus, to them. Sometimes, maybe, we overreact. Maybe our reactions, because it's like, man, this is like a big thing that God's asked me to do. So we overreact. And it's just like, that is so big. I am not going to go to small group anymore because I feel like everyone's looking at me, expecting of me. Sometimes we overreact. And we used to be great in the workplace. We used to be happy. Used to smile at people. Used to go out of our way, but God's asked us to do something a little bit bigger than what we've done before. So we just, maybe you've chosen to take the scenic route. Maybe you went on a cruise like Jonah did. I'm just going to take a cruise. Maybe I'm just going to cruise through life. I'm just going to take it easy and just, there's plenty of time for me to do what God's called me to do. The problem is, it takes us everywhere except his call. It takes us everywhere except his call. So the decisions we make to avoid God's call and commission, those decisions can be corrected. You don't have to live with those decisions. Those decisions can be corrected. God is a God of second chances. They can be corrected. Why? They can be corrected so that we can find ourselves back in his call, in his right place. God has called us and calling us to exercise big faith. There may be some things that we need to take care of in our lives, like Jonah needed to take care of some things. He made some choices that took him away from the big faith life. I just want us to look at three keys today. Three keys from Jonah, how to make your way back from bad choices. I think that's a good place for us to start today. Because sometimes we can feel so powerless because we've made this decision. It's like, I'm out of God's will. My family's falling apart. My relationships are strained and stressed. It's like, how do I make my way back from this? I don't even know how to make my way back from this. Let's look at three keys from Jonah's life about how he made his way back from bad decisions. Number one. Take responsibility for your wrong choices. You want me to what? Take responsibility for your bad choices. Who loves taking responsibilities for their bad choices? I'm too scared to put my hand up right now because Naomi's actually in the room. Let's be honest. From a very young age, if you had parents who were a little bit authoritarian, you knew that if you owned up for anything, that there was a punishment that was going to come after it. And so if your parents did things in the sort of like that way, you're like, I'm not owning up to anything. I'm not taking responsibility for anything. If I take responsibility for something, everyone's going to blame me. In the workplace, maybe because of what happened when you were younger, you do something wrong in the workplace and you're like, just and walk away. Because you're conditioned in your mind that if I actually go to my boss or my oversight right now and say, I have mucked up real bad. I just lost $5,000 worth of stuff because I wasn't focusing properly. This isn't my confession, that's why I didn't do that at all. But as an example. And so instead, you've got this life practice of, I didn't do it. Reminiscent of Bart Simpson, right? I didn't do it. It wasn't me. And so this taking responsibility thing, you equate with punishment and destruction. I take ownership for this. God is going to crack down on me like nothing else. No, no, no. He's not going to crack down on you, but he is going to try to get your attention. Just like he tried to get Jonah's attention. Storms around you and you're like, God, why are you doing this to me? It's like, God's not doing anything. You just made some choices and decisions that you need to take responsibility for to remove yourself from the storm. This is what it says. This is what Jonah said to his colleagues on the ship. Jonah 1 verse 12. Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Took responsibility. Took responsibility for the actions. And this is what happened. Jonah literally got thrown into the sea. Just him and his rubber ducky. He doesn't look overly happy, but he knew that at that moment in time, he had to take responsibility. He couldn't blame anyone else anymore. It wasn't mum and dad's fault. It wasn't a sibling's fault. It wasn't somebody else that gave him the ticket to take the cruise. This is on him. Now, not for a moment, and I'm talking this morning about coming down with self-pity on oneself, because there's not space for us to do that either. This is about just owning the decision. So it was me. We're in this situation because I made that decision. See, sometimes the decisions we make will take us off the right path, God's path, for each and every single one of us that he's called us to walk on. But we have the power within us to take responsibility. We've talked about this, that we're carriers of the power of God. We're carriers of the Holy Spirit. We're carriers of Jesus and his Spirit. We have the power within us to make those decisions. It goes against all the conditioning that we've had throughout our whole life journey. But know that when you take responsibility before God, it's a safe space. There's no thunder. There's no lightning. There's no storms. In fact, the responsibility removes you from the storm when you take responsibility. And this is what I love. Taking responsibility stops the storm, but it also has the opportunity to do this. When we take responsibility, it can save others from the storm also. So you've made some decisions and there's just this storm happening within a friendship group or a family or a workplace because you haven't taken responsibility. When you take responsibility, the storm stops and other people around you, relationships are saved. Relationships aren't broken. The stress and the strain, the space for healing and restoration. Does that make sense for us this morning? Sometimes we're like, God, take this storm away. And really what we should be saying is, I take responsibility for that decision that brought this storm in Jesus' name. Now come and take the storm away. See, at times, the storm only exists because we've taken a wrong turn or chosen to walk it on, wrong way. And it could be, there's so many things around this that could be the root cause of this. It could be fear. Like for Jonah, it was fear. It's like, those people, they're killers. Those people are killers. I don't want to go there. It's too scary. I like bringing the word of the Lord to God's people. That's where it's safe and awesome. Maybe it's fear of being hurt. Maybe you've already been hurt by a relationship where you've stepped out and, that hurts. So you made decisions not to be in God's call anymore. Maybe you've suffered in abusive relationships. So I don't want to step out. I've been so hurt in abusive relationships. When I talk about abusive relationships, I'm talking about all forms of abusive relationships, whether that's marriage relationship, whether that's friendship relationship, work relationship. Abuse can happen in any form of relationships. I just want to encourage that whatever it is, you can make a choice to walk back into God's purpose. You're like, maybe you suffered in an abuse and you're like, I had no control over this. this was perpetrated against me. You don't have to take responsibility for the other person's actions. That's up to them. But all you can take responsibility for is coming back before God and not running from him and his relationship and his call anymore. I understand. Abusive relationships, so difficult, so hard to work through. What happens in the mind? But it's only in front of God when you're facing towards him that he can come and bring the healing that we truly need from those moments. I want to encourage you, if that's real for you, come before God. Seek some great Christian counseling to actually come alongside those, because there's stuff that you need to talk about. You've been keeping that held down. There's some stuff that you need to talk through and talk about, because the storm keeps raging. The storm in your mind keeps raging. Can I encourage you? Before God, walk the journey with someone who can actually encourage you and talk through those things with you. Proverbs 28:13 says this: A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. Well, the women are like, that's definitely for the men. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. Whoa. Let's take that one to heart, amen. Struggling and striving for success, maybe it's just a responsibility choice away. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. The God of second chances. Confess before God. Take responsibility. Success will come into our life. Don't you love God's heart towards us? The second one is this. Lessons from Jonah. Repent. Whoa, did he just say repent? Repent and turn away from the wrong choice or choices you made. See, that word repent, so often we kind of like, oh, no. What it means is I was walking this way, and with my actions and my heart and my mind, I'm choosing to turn around and walk God's way. That's what it actually means. To turn the other way, not 360, 180, and walk towards everything that God has for you. Jonah 2 verse 9 says this: but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. See, all of a sudden, he was literally on a boat fleeing away. And all of a sudden, his heart turns. What does it say? With great shouts of praise, I will sacrifice to you. It talks about bringing worship to God. I was fleeing, but now I'm walking the other way, and I'm going to bring worship and say salvation comes from God alone and nowhere else. My hope, my certainty, my assurance comes from God and nowhere else. A repentant heart, a heart that expresses sincere regret and remorse and walks the other way before God. It's a place where we acknowledge that our help, our hope, our salvation comes from God. See, like Jonah, after taking responsibility, we choose to bring a sacrifice of praise and worship before God. That's something that you need to do. You need to come before God with a repentant heart. It's like, I bring my sacrifice and praise of worship. I acknowledge that it is only from you that my help comes from. I acknowledge that it's only from you that my hope and salvation comes from. I want to encourage you today. Make good on his purpose for your life. Make good on it. Turn towards him. Walk towards him. Let the strength of his salvation spur your faith into action in Jesus' name. It says this in Acts 3 verse 19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. It's when we turn towards him, when we come before him with a sacrifice of worship and praise, that then he responds and reciprocates with refreshing to our hearts and our lives. Our God is a good God. When we turn our hearts back to God, God and his purpose for us, what's his purpose for us? Seeing others restored into relationship with him. It's in these times that he comes and refreshes us through his Holy Spirit. We've talked about that in our carriers of the Holy Spirit and teaching on the Holy Spirit. If you're finding yourself in the middle of isolation, in the belly of a whale, so to speak, finding yourself separated from what God has for you, God is the God of second chances. I'll say it one more time. God is the God of second chances. You don't have to be in the isolation. You don't have to be in that place. God has a better place for you. Maybe it's just this. Maybe you're a choice away from being refreshed. Maybe you're a choice away from being refreshed. If you find yourself in a troubling circumstances from choices that you made, you're a choice away from peace and purpose. You're a choice away from the storm being stopped and peace and purpose to come into your life in Jesus' name. The third one is this: wholeheartedly accept and take hold of God's grace. Embrace God's grace, essentially. So you could easily say, I'll take responsibility and I'll repent, but now I'm going to dwell in self-pity. No. No, we can't dwell. We can't have the woe is me. It's because of the choices I've made and I still feel it. Of course we still feel it. Our emotions and our mind is still present in our body and we have to wage warfare. It's like, no, I'm not gonna come under those thoughts anymore. I've taken responsibility. I've repented before God. And now I'm embracing his grace. God's grace is sufficient for me in this very moment. And it says this, when Jonah wholeheartedly accepted and took hold of God's grace, this is what it says in Jonah 3 verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. So we heard at the beginning that God said, hey, Jonah, I need you to go to the people of Nineveh. They have strayed far from me and they need someone to bring the word of the Lord to them, to bring correction so that they can repent and come back to me, come back to God. And what happens? As he does those three things, the word of the Lord comes to him for a second time. The God of second chances. Same purpose, Jonah's original purpose. He does those three things. Same purpose comes into play. Same word from God. Same person getting the opportunity to be used to bring people back into relationship with God. It was because of Jonah's wholehearted embrace to accept God's grace and mercy for him, to accept God's compassion. The same compassion that he was meant to be delivering to the people of Nineveh is the same compassion that God offered to him. It's not a different thing. It's not a new thing. It's not something that God only does for some individuals. Across the board, mercy, grace, compassion is what God wants to offer people, but they have to take responsibility, have to repent, and have to embrace everything that God's got for them. Amen. Is anyone else excited about that? I'm excited by that. In fact, I'm really excited by that. Because it gives me a refreshed faith and a refreshed hope that God can even use me. Right? God can use every single one of us. Just pausing for a moment. Has anyone been impacted by the Big Faith series? I tell you the truth. For me personally, I have felt a fresh revelation of faith. I was talking to Marianne about that this week. A fresh revelation of faith that I have not felt before. I felt that during this time that I literally have perhaps been living with hope when I needed to be living with faith. Like, is there a difference? Hope is a byproduct of faith. As in, you have faith and God brings hope. But if you're living just with hope, what does the Bible say? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so this is your pastor standing before you at the moment saying, God's been speaking to my heart through this series as well. I feel a renewed faith for our church. I felt a renewed faith for what God has called us to accomplish in our city. I felt a renewed faith that God is building his church and we're growing because of it. And you're like, oh, but aren't you seeing what I'm seeing? I'm seeing what God has called me to see. What does his word say? That he will build his church. My faith stands, not my hope, my faith stands this morning that God is taking care of business. And as when we go through this process of taking responsibility and repenting and coming before God and saying, I embrace everything that you've got for me and I'm committed to the commission, that's when we do that as the church, then we'll start to see things in the natural that we've been seeing in the spiritual. Amen? Amen. Well, let that begin to burn in your heart. Let that begin to burn in your heart. So it's because Jonah embraced this, accepted God's grace and mercy, that he was able to come before the king of Nineveh, share God's heart for them. It's because of his choice to take responsibility, because of his choice to repent and take hold of God's grace, that the king signed a decree saying that the entire nation, the entire city of Nineveh, needed to pray and seek God's compassion and mercy. I mean, not only did he get the second chance, but he got to see the promise fulfilled. An entire city of people turning back to God. See, God's word in your mouth can reap great responses in others. I'll say it one more time. God's word in your mouth can reap great responses in others. See, God was inclined to respond with compassion and mercy to the king's decree. I say this to each and every single one of us. God isn't finished yet. Your best is yet to come. You're like, I felt like I peaked 10 years ago. In Jesus' name, you did not peak 10 years ago. Your best is yet to come. I felt like I peaked like 30 years ago. In Jesus' name, your best is yet to come. God isn't finished. I don't feel like I've ever peaked. I don't feel like I'm. Your best is yet to come. God isn't finished yet. God is a God of second chances. It's time to get back in the game. It's time to get back in the game. It's time to get back in the game. You have the opportunity to be a gateway for the people in your world. Do I? Yeah, you do. Responsibility, repentance, embracing God's grace. You have the opportunity to be a gateway for the people in your world, to seek compassion and mercy and grace for God to come into their life. You can seek it on their behalf. You can share hope with them. You can share Jesus with them. You can be faith-filled around them and speak into moments. In Hebrews 14:16, it says this. Take this in this morning. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Ever seen one of those movies where, like, the peasant comes in before the king and they're like, no, you are not peasants before a king. You are sons and daughters before a king. So therefore you can approach God's throne of grace, not throne of judgment, not throne of lightning. He doesn't have a hammer that he's going to like throw and release and just like, you have sinned. God. No. God's throne of grace. People are like, man, I wish he was holding a microphone. He's like doing weird moves. Throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Not alone in this. God's help, God's grace in our time of need. His grace to help us. So I don't know about you, but I am constantly in a time of need of help. So I don't think there's a moment where it's like, yeah, I don't need God's help right now. I'm good. Self-sufficiency. Self-empowerment. So you can chant as many things to yourself in the morning to pep yourself up. What you need to do is with confidence approach the throne of grace, and God's power will impart to you and equip you for what he's called you to do. You know, maybe you find yourself in a place where you've been running away from your gifting. Maybe you haven't got yourself in a boat and gone to Tarshish. But maybe you've just turned away from your calling. It's like, I'll just wait here and maybe it'll pass. Maybe that calling will pass to somebody else. It's not because you don't want it. Because deep in our hearts, we wanna be activated in everything that God's got for us. But maybe it's because it's scary. Maybe it's because it's asking a lot of you personally. Maybe it's because the sacrifice is going to be great and it's going to cause you to have to make some different practices and put some other things off that you don't really want to put off in your life. You know, many years ago, I had put off going to Bible college for many years. And I had doubts that I would pass any units at Bible college. I had struggled with formal study at school. I mucked around a little bit too much at school. This is my confession. I was unable to get into any rhythm of study and revision for exams and all that type of thing. And I was putting off things. I hadn't turned away from God and his calling. I hadn't hopped into the bottom of a ship and gone to Tarshish. I hadn't turned away. I'd put off. You know, maybe there's some people in the room right now, it's like, oh, are you saying that putting it off is the same as turning away or running off to Tarshish? Yeah, I am. I am saying that. I'd put it off. I know that it doesn't look as dynamic, or you don't pick up on it externally because you see yourself and you're still facing towards God and you're still praying and you're still believing for God's gift to be activated and you're still doing all the right things, but he's still called you to do something more. See, I signed up for Bible college, passed units, went on to do a diploma. Now I'm doing extra units in an honors degree at university. Do I struggle with the rhythm of study and exams and all those things? Yeah, of course I do. But I'm facing forward. I'm aimed towards everything that God has for me. You're like, man, you're like talking yourself up. No, I've just taken responsibility, come with a repentant heart before God. And now because of that, I'm embracing God's grace and everything he has for me. I want to encourage you that if someone who mucked around at school can do that, maybe you're someone who mucked around at school. Maybe you're someone who had fun. School was awesome for me. I loved it. It was like the best time of my life. It was like the social, it was brilliant. It was the best time of my life. It wasn't the best time of my life. It was wonderful because socially I was right in the middle of it, but intellectually I had removed myself from that part of school. I want to encourage you, if that's you, that you can do more than you think you can. There may be some other choices that you need to make to actually edge towards where God's called you to be. I want to encourage you to stop running, stop turning away, stop putting off. If God has spoken to you, take responsibility, turn towards everything he's got for you, embrace God's mercy, face forward, use the giftings that he's put in your life, be available. I mean, really, just be obedient. If that's all you can do is just be obedient and say, I'm doing those three things, I'm going to be obedient to you, God. Let the other things come later. Just be obedient before God. I was talking to someone this week, and I just wanted to, before we sort of come to the end this morning, just as the keys come, I was thinking about what's Gateway and its preaching all about. It's a weird thought, isn't it? What do we aim to do when it comes to preaching? And this is what I was thinking. This is what I felt God sort of like simplify for me. It's this: when it comes to the messages we preach at Gateway, what is God doing in you, and what does God want to do through you? The messages should speak to what God's trying to do in you. And then with those messages, it's my heart that you go out into the world and figure out what God wants to do through you, for the people around you, for our city. Simply put, get renewed and empowered for the Great Commission. Get renewed and empowered for the Great Commission. I want to encourage you with Jonah's heart today. What would Jonah encourage you with? And I speak this strongly over people today. You are not defined by wrong choices. You are not defined by wrong choices. It is not who you are. Who you are is a new creation. Who you are is set aside as a son and daughter of God. You are not your choices. Romans 8 verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. You're not condemned by those choices. It's not who you are. The next thing I think he would say is don't let your wrong choices disqualify you. I've made bad choices, bad health choices, bad relationship choices, whatever it is. And because of those bad choices, I'm disqualified from serving in the kingdom of God. I say this today, and this is what the Word of God speaks over each and every single one of us. Romans 8:28. And now we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. It may have been a bad choice or decision, but you come back before Him, He's going to work those things together for your good and the good of those people around you, for the purpose He's called you to, the salvation of others. You are not your choices. You're a new creation. You're called to live out a new life in Christ. And so just as we come to the end today, these things are in your notes this morning, or you can write them down this morning. How to be protected against making bad decisions. Because it's one thing to do the right thing, to come out of it, but how do I protect myself about making bad decisions or wrong choices after this moment of restoration? How do I not do that anymore? It says this. Number one, it says this. Use the Word of God to guide you. If you're making choices and decisions and you're not using the Word of God as a bar for those decisions, it's time to begin using the Word of God. It says in Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. What it's saying is the words of the book, the words of the Bible are a light. They light our path and they're a lamp to our feet. That's what it actually means. It's like you read it, God will speak to you, and literally it's almost like, whoa. Oh, yep, that's the right way to go. Sound effects, that was awesome, wasn't it? You read it, your path will be illuminated. You read it, and you're like, your path illuminates, you're like, oh, there it is. You're going to know which way you actually have to walk when you're actually consuming the Word of God. Number two, ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom and guidance. God's Spirit dwelling in us, speaking to us. You know what I figured out many, many years ago after making a bad choice? I was about to make this choice. It was actually a girlfriend choice. And I asked her to go out with me, and inside of me there was just this feeling of, what are you doing, man? Like, this is not, no, you shouldn't be doing this. And I did it anyway, and the feeling stayed. And I figured out years later, I'm a little bit slow on the uptake, years later, it was literally the Holy Spirit going, dude, what are you doing? this is not the season and this is not the person. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. There are ways that you'll begin to pick up on how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Don't do it the hard way. Don't ignore. So I'm not talking about gut. I'm not talking about gut feeling. I'm not talking about, I'm a bit fearful. This person's a little bit shady. And I'm not talking about the gut feeling. I'm talking about literally it's the Holy Spirit going, dude, stop. And in my head, I rationalized, but I've already made the decision. We can undo our decisions in Jesus' name. You don't have to follow through with that. John 16:13 says this, but when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. It's God's heart and God's word to want to speak to you and guide you into the right place, the right truth that he actually has for you. Questions to keep you on mission. Questions to keep you on the right path. Do my choices honor God? Will this dampen or grow my spiritual health by this decision that I'm about to make? How will this choice impact the people closest to me? Are they going to be throwing stuff overboard, fearful that the ship's about to wreck? Or are they going to embrace together? Choices. Questions to keep you on mission. Number three, this is the third one, to make sure that you're protected against bad decisions. Seek godly, wise counsel from friends who know what you want to hear.
No.
Don't seek godly, wise counsel from friends who know what you want to hear. I would encourage you, seek godly, wise counsel from shepherds who are commissioned by God for you. Commissioned, gifted for you to help you. Are they going to tell you what you should do? Absolutely not. They will not tell you what to do. In this church, the pastors of this church will never tell you what you should do, because that's just straight up wrong. We can come by you. We can give you wise counsel as to what the Word of God says. We can encourage you. We can pray with you. We can pray that the Holy Spirit comes in that moment of us meeting together and guide you and direct you into all truth so that you can make a choice and a decision that honors God and keeps you facing in the right direction. That's what pastors and shepherds are called to do for the people of God. See, it's our heart, my heart, that I want you to be able to pursue everything that God has for you. That's my heart for you. That you're found right in the very moment that God has called you to be in. It says in Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Am I saying separate yourself from people? I'm not saying that, because the very people that you'll be separating yourselves is the people that God has actually commissioned us to go and reach. But what I am saying, when it comes to being strengthened, when it comes to having a clear mind, be around wise, godly people that are going to uplift you and not give you the lip service that you want. They're going to deliver God's heart. Just as our eyes are closed this morning and just the band comes. You know, for each and every single one of us in this room, for those watching at home this morning, you may be living with the real life sting of bad choices. Or maybe you're living with the real life sting of no choices. You're so scared to make a decision, so scared about what should I do next, that you actually have stopped and stagnated and haven't made any decisions. Living with the repercussions, or living with no percussion, no rhythm to life. Feeling empty, or even feeling superficial. It's like, I feel superficial. I don't even feel like I'm real in this moment. Maybe living with a void of purpose because you've been putting things off, or turning away, or running away. This is what I will say to each and every single one of us today. This is your moment. This is your moment. This is your comeback. This is your second chance. This is your comeback game. This is your breakout season that God has for you. Let me say that again. This is your moment. This is your second chance. This is your comeback game. This is your breakout season. The seasons that you've been in are coming to an end in Jesus' name. Responsibility, repentant heart, embracing grace is your new season. And because of it, this is going to be a breakout season for you in relationships, in family, in workplace, and everything that He has called you to do, both as part of the church, part of the kingdom, and part of our city. God is going to cause you to break out this season. You are not the sum of your decisions. You are not defined by your choices. You are not disqualified from the mission. You're not disqualified from the mission. And I speak this over every single person today. You're coming back strong. You are coming back strong. You are coming back empowered. You are coming back strong. You are coming back with fierce purpose and passion in Jesus' name. That fire that you've always hoped would burn inside of you, in Jesus' name, that fire is going to begin to burn with faith, purpose, and passion in this season. Just with every eye closed, you know, maybe you're in this place and you're like, I love what you're saying, but I don't know Jesus personally. Maybe you're watching at home. You're like, I don't know Jesus personally. So first of all, to live with this passion, to live with this purpose, to live with big faith, to embrace the second chance. First of all, you need to have a relationship with God. God made it possible by sending Jesus to die on a cross. And on the third day, He rose again for the forgiveness of your sins. Just with every eye closed in this moment, if that's you, you know, I want a relationship with God. I want the second chance that you've been talking about today. If you're watching at home, I want the second chance that you've been talking about. If that's you, I just want to invite you this morning and say, yeah, that's me. You can lift up your hand and say, yeah, I want to receive that. I want to receive the second chance that God's got for me. Is there anyone who say, yeah, that's me this morning? Once you put your hand up, you can put it down. This is what we're going to do this morning. With every eye closed, every head bowed, if you're watching at home this morning, in this room this morning, I want you to pray this prayer with me this morning, inviting Jesus into your heart, making Him Lord of your life, so that you can embrace the next season of your life, so that you can know that your eternity is found in God with Jesus. Let's pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to You and I thank You that You died on the cross for forgiveness of my sins, so that I can come back into relationship with God. Today, God, I choose to make You Lord of my life. Jesus, come and dwell in my heart. I choose to follow You. I take responsibility. I come with a repentant heart. I surrender my life to You. And I embrace Your grace. I embrace Your forgiveness. I embrace Your mercy. And I embrace Your compassion. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Greatest prayer you can ever pray. If you pray that prayer today and for the first time, or you felt that you needed to get your life right with God, if you're in this room, if you're watching at home, you prayed it, can I encourage you? If you're in this room, come and speak to me afterwards. Online, send an email in through the website. We would love to connect with you.